Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Ah, motherhood. 1 minute, you're mom of the year.
I love you, mommy.
Then the next? Not so much. From bath time to bullying, from potty training to puberty, parenting is full of challenges. But one thing is for certain, you are not alone. Welcome to Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, author, mother, parenting expert, Tara Clark. Join me while we tackle today's modern mom problems.
Welcome back to another episode of Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, Tara Clark. Here on Modern Mom Probs, we try to solve the world's problems, but if we can't, at least we're having fun talking about it. Today's topic is Parenting is Weird with Cheska House. I'm so excited to get a chance to chat with her. She was born near London, England in the early 1980s, and she's always been the cartoonist at school, and she went to university for animation. She married her longtime love, Jay, in 2009, and then they moved to Austin, Texas. After becoming a mother of 2 boys, Cheska wanted to do something that combined both cartoons and her newfound parenting knowledge. So in 2018, she struck up the idea of starting Litter Box Comics, a webcomic based on her own family. But everyone is animals because Cheska hates drawing people. Cheska, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm so excited that you're here because I absolutely love, love, love your work. You are so spot on in all of your takes on modern parenting. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I guess the best way to describe me is I'm a mum that survives by seeing the funny side of things.
Same. No, it definitely helps, right? Because if you're not laughing along the craziness that's going on, then, you know, it's a hard thing to get through.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like sort of 9 years ago, I became a mom and with what they charitably call a high needs baby. We called him a baby that doesn't like being a baby.
A baby who doesn't like being a baby. He was probably a baby who didn't like most things, I would assume.
Yeah, he was. It's funny now we've got to know him and he's older. Like, that really was it. He doesn't like being not good at things, and gets bored very easily. So I think he was just found being a baby very boring and just complained about it.
I mean, if you put yourself in his shoes or his booties, you can imagine how it probably would be fairly boring being a baby.
Like, you can't move, you're just sort of flopping around. He did not tolerate it well, and so it was a pretty miserable time for us all.
How does he like being a 9-year-old?
He's doing better now. I've always said, like, it was that first newborn stage. Everyone's like, oh, you know, it gets worse, it gets better. Like, nothing has ever been as bad as that beginning bit. So everything has been great since then. But
good. Well, that's a really positive thing.
Great is a maybe a over.
It might be like an overestimation of that one.
Yeah, and I never want to go back to that newborn stage. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, no, he's doing good now. He's a great kid. He's got a very good sense of humor about himself, which is lucky for what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of what you do, you have a new book out. It's called Parenting is Weird, Tales from the Litter Box, which is absolutely hilarious. Where do you find your inspiration for these stories and these comics?
Well, I mean, it just sort of hits me with my family, really. They sort of, things happen, and I have a little notebook on my phone, and just anything that's possibly, you know, a seed of an idea, I kind of write down, which is quite therapeutic, because if, you know, something is awful happening, I can at least sort of, that's an idea, I'll write that down. That
makes me feel a bit better. You're like, I may be struggling with this in the moment, but that makes great content.
Yeah.
Do you notice that, like, the older they get, sort of like the less content you have about them, or is it just a content machine all the time?
That's kind of my concern about it. I mean, they're still in that sort of golden age of saying very funny things, but I am very mindful of the fact that when they become teenagers, they're probably going to clam up. And that's kind of why I'm keeping the comics. My current plan is to keep the comics with them being just sort of Simpsons it and keep them the same age, try and kind of make more content myself, or try to come up with things, because they're kind of their own characters at this point. They are like, they're based on us, but I kind of see them as their own people with their own kind of like lives to live and stories to tell. So that's sort of, but yeah, they still kind of come up with things, and then I sort of think I can spin that into this. And, you know, sometimes now the younger one will say something, and but we have to sort of, I have to switch it around to it being the older one saying it in the comic, because it wouldn't make sense for the kind of toddler to say it. But.
Certainly. That makes sense. Did you always know that you could draw?
Yeah, I've always been like, I was sort of growing up, in school, everyone would kind of get me to draw things. And my parents always encouraged me, so that was great. And
that's brilliant.
Yeah, I always loved drawing, especially animals. I don't know why. And like pets as well, and sort of talking animals are vastly entertaining to me.
It's so entertaining. So, you know, it's funny. Like I said, my son found the book. I had it on my kitchen table, and he's like, "What's this?" And I was like, "Oh, it's a book that I'm reading for work." And he grabbed it and he read it like 5 times in a row, to the point that he was like pulling his friends into, we had a play date, and he was pulling his friends into reading. He's like, "You got to see this page. You got to see this page." And it cracked me up because, well, a couple things about him. One, my son also has a very good sense of humor, so he really truly appreciates good comedy. And two, we love cats. We're a huge cat family. No pun intended. Actually, you're the huge cat family, but we are also a huge cat family. And so anything cat related, for him to see that, like the juxtaposition of the cats as the parents and as the children, he just like absolutely went nuts. And we had so much fun reading this book because, like I said before, you nail the scenarios of modern parenting so well. It's like, and they're not even in tropes, you know, like we had mentioned that, like, there's always that trope of like dummy dad, like the Homer Simpson, or like the nagging mom. And I love that you overcome and don't like succumb to those tropes. Like, what inspired you to do that?
I hate that trope so much. It's everyone has the right to sort of be the idiot, you know, equal rights for all morons.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's just, you know, dads are fun but stupid, mums are boring but right, and, you know, don't get me wrong, I love being right, but
I also love being right.
You know, sometimes I'm not, and that's okay, because parenting is a team sport.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, at least in our house, we always say, like, I'm the fun one. So I actually don't relate to those things of like, oh, dad's coming in and being super fun and mom's really boring. It's like, no, dude, I'm fun. I'm fun all the time. We actually just started this thing. My husband started this thing at home where he calls it Fun Dad, where he'll put on like a silly sort of t-shirt, like a taco t-shirt or something silly. And then he's sort of like, it changes his whole demeanor. And then he becomes fun and he's lighter and he's airier, and you know, we just have a nice time. So that's something that's been working in our house.
That's and lovely.
It was a very intentional effort made towards like having more fun and, you know, getting out of like your own head space sometimes. So yeah, it's hard, I highly recommend
that. It's hard to break out of those patterns that, especially at our ages, you gotta.
Yes.
Stuck.
it really is. Like, what I love in your book too, you mention whether you do it intentionally or not, is like a lot of like nostalgia sort of things. Like the one time you mentioned like Voltron versus like Ultron. And I appreciate those because first of all, I love the MCU. So anything that you're mentioning that I'm all about. But I think that's cool that there was one comic about the parents wanting to introduce 80s and 90s movies to their kids. And they were talking about like traumatizing them. And my son knows this to be true. I am totally traumatized by The Dark Crystal.
Okay. The film. I used to like that one. Apart from when he melts. I didn't like that.
Oh my gosh. If I could describe like the single most thing, because at the time, I'm going to set the stage here.
Okay.
At the time, I saw The Dark Crystal, and then Thriller was like the biggest video on MTV, and
Thriller
it was like
did it for
everywhere,
me.
Yep. And you couldn't escape it. And so it was like the overwhelming repeated images of Thriller plus The Dark Crystal plus a lot of those other things at the same time, like that put me over the edge. But it's funny because my son has a favorite YouTuber. He's also an illustrator. His name is James, but on YouTube, it's The Odd Is Out. Odd Ones Out. That's what it is. And so James did a whole series about The Dark Crystal. And so that's how my son was introduced to that film and the concept of it being scary and all of that kind of stuff. And one day he was watching that video and I walked by and I was like, oh my God, what are you watching? And he's like, oh, he's like, it's just, you know, Odd Ones Out and they're talking about The Dark Crystal. I was like, no, because James like loved that movie, whatever. Shout out to him. But I just love that you were talking about watching traumatizing movies.
It's funny because I got it all wrong in that comic. Like I think the order, because we hadn't done any of them, but that when I did that comic, and then we did try and do them. I think, you know, we tried to do Ghostbusters, but you know, the librarian at the beginning of Ghostbusters like scared me so much when I was
that
little.
Scared me too.
Yes, comes and screams at them, and they just didn't. They weren't phased. I was like, oh, okay, weird. And then there's a lot more talking in Ghostbusters than I remember and a lot more grown-up talking. And so they just got bored and kind of wandered off. And then I think, you know, I tried Labyrinth and they were too, I don't know, you got to hit these things at just the right age. And I was like trying to push these things a little too early. So they just kind of, you know, you get halfway through and then they just want to jump around on the couch and it's like, oh, sit down, it's important.
It's true because especially with the 80s movies, you're right. There's more adult dialogue. There's also more adult situations. Like Ghostbusters has some like real like adult situations going on there that I think that our kids may not be used to, but we were accustomed to in the 80s. Right? It's not as the pacing of those movies is just slower. But when I saw that one comic about like, okay, you know, what are like the top... Yeah, I'm just making this, I'm sort of riffing here, but like, what are like the top five, you know, most traumatic 80s movies to show our kids to check off the list? I was like absolutely cracking up because we did something similar. I mean, not to try to traumatize, and my son still hasn't seen The Dark Crystal. He only saw the YouTube video about it, but we did show him Ghostbusters and he was like, yeah, he's like, the graphics are bad.
Jurassic Park was the one that, because I kept showing them, trying all these movies, you know, Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, Ghostbusters, but then Jurassic Park, that scared him. I was like, yes, finally paying attention. I got him. So
yes,
they were all kind of hiding under the blanket on the sofa and I was just sitting there like, this is it. This is what it's about.
You're like, finally. You know what I was also really scared of as a kid? I don't know if you saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Large Marge. That scene where her eyeballs pop out of her eyes still scares me to this day. My friends and I don't, for whatever reason, that was a very popular like play date or sleepover film we used to watch, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And Large Marge, she turns around, she's like, tell them Large Marge sent you. And that always used to creep us out.
Same with the, the end of Roger Rabbit as well with his eyes popping out. Ooh.
We haven't done
Roger Rabbit yet. That one's,
We did because Roger Rabbit is one of my personal favorite films of all time. And him Roger Rabbit. Yes. Yeah, he saw that. He liked that one actually, now that I think about it. Because that one like does move quicker than some of the other ones.
I think I'm worried about pulling the trigger too early and them not kind of appreciating it. But they might be in the right place now.
Yes. I think in the next year or two, I think you could start showing some of those some of those other ones.
This episode is brought to you by Modern Mom Style Box. Upgrade your wardrobe and enjoy unlimited styles for just $60 a month. Modern Mom Style Box is the first rental clothing subscription designed exclusively for moms and moms-to-be. Get started today with a free trial. Use promo code PTO.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
So what's your favorite comic or scenario that you had in the book?
Oh, God, that's a hard one. As I like them all for sort of lots of different reasons. You know, some will be like, you know, I like the zombies one, and I love zombies, and I just had so much fun drawing that one and coming up with it. And then
that was a good one. My son particularly appreciated that one too, because we also like zombies. I like that the dad has a shirt that says guitar band, because we used to play that a lot before my son was born back in the day. Were you guys big guitar band people?
No, I think my husband mainly comes out with the shirts. And I think that's more just a sort of, in general, guitar band. I hadn't even thought about it being the game. That's funny.
Oh, that's immediately what I thought. Because I guess maybe he was thinking about like rock stars. No, I thought about guitar band because we played the crap out of it. I mean, we played that so much. We used to have parties where it was like guitar band parties. We loved that game when it came out. And you talk about screen time. That, you know, speaking of screen time and the gaming, that's screen time's an entire section of the book.
Yeah, that's a lot of modern mom problems, isn't it?
It certainly is. Actually, you know, it's funny. My son's favorite, I just happened to open to it. My son's favorite comic in the entire book is the one where it's like, "Was I a cute baby?" And she's like, "Oh, yeah, here's you just a few minutes old." And she's like, "Oh, my God, what is that?" And it's like, you know, the Facebook photo of the newborn, and he's all like fat and bloated and
little goblin,
know, gross, and got little goblin baby. And the mom goes, "Hormones and Facebook lied to me." My son loved that one so much. He was showing all of his friends. He's like, "Look at this one. Look at this one."
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, you know, it was great. But again, because we're big cat people too. So I think it, like, in his mind, he's almost seeing that like as us, similar to how obviously you see it as your own family. But my son definitely sees that as us.
It's funny because we're only recent cat people. We actually only got our cats at the beginning of this year. We were dog people before that, which is quite funny with the comic.
Yeah, you would think so. So why did you pick cats? Like, why didn't you think, okay, I'm going to go with a dog family?
Well, initially it was tigers because I was going to do a direct kind of parody of Daniel Tiger and have like a sort of them in real life. But then I started drawing all the tigers and I was drawing all the stripes and I was like, oh, goddamn, tigers are really annoying to draw.
That's true. They are. They're a lot of work. But the mother, she has stripes. She's tiger-like.
She's kind of like a leftover, like a nod to that, I guess. Because I sort of went to Jay and I was like complaining about drawing all these stripes. And he suggested cats instead because he was like, look, you'll have more fun with cats. There's more colors you can do. And then the internet loves cats. So I was like, that's a good point. And I sort of thought about dogs as well, but yeah, I do have a dog family too that I do like Patreon exclusive comics. But cats are just so unique in that they have that the sort of the fur and the eyes and the tails. You can show a lot more of the inner kind of emotion than you can. Like dog, you just have wagging tails and ears.
That's true. Cats are complex creatures, right? Yeah. So like depending on how their ears are going or how their tails are going, you could sort of get a read on what they're feeling.
I just thought that was useful because, you know, and you're reading the comic and the kid's kind of being annoying and the mum is like bristling and that's how it feels. And you can see it inside, but she's still like, okay, everything's fine. I thought that would visually like work very well. So yeah, cats have ended up being perfect.
Yeah, it's true. There's, you know, it's funny you're saying, speaking of the mom. So there's this one comic right here and the mom is driving the son in the car. And the son said, I'm going to say the C word. And the mom's like, the what? And he's like, car. Oh, she's like, oh yeah, ha ha ha, cute. I'm going to say the B word. Oh yeah, okay. Ball. And the mom's like, all right. And then the last frame is, I'm going to say the F word. And the mom's like, okay. Because again, she's thinking that it's going to be something silly, you know, like car, ball, fish. And he's like, F word. And she's like, oh. And I love that one. I thought that one was so clever.
That one actually happened.
Did it really?
Yes.
Tell me that story.
Well, he was just in the car and we were going home. And, you know, in real life, he said, I'm going to say the N word. And I was like, you what? And then he said, nest. And I was like, oh, lovely. And then we kind of went on and, it went on longer than the comic. They were like, you know, I'm going to say the K word. And I'm like, what? And, you know, it was kite. And it was just, you know, the less sort of sweary ones.
Right, right, sure.
And then at the end, he just, I'm going to say the F word. And then he just, okay. And he just dropped it. And I was like, what? And like, he didn't realize, he must have been like five or something at the time. He didn't realize the whole setup he was doing, but he knew what he was doing at the end there.
And then you knew, you're like, I have to write this down and draw about it.
I know. I was like, because when it happens when you're driving and you're like, okay, you're just like going over and over and you don't forget it. Don't forget it. Just keep playing it in my head. And he was like trying to talk to me after. I was like, no, we can't talk. I would just kind of keep playing this in my head.
I'm like that about things too. I'm like, no. Like especially at night. And I don't know if you have a lot of ideas late at night or as you're laying down to go to sleep, but that's always when my concepts pop into my head. It doesn't always help me because I no longer keep a notebook next to my bed. I should, but, and then I wake up in the morning, I'm always like, damn, why did I forget that? I should have wrote that down.
Yeah.
Happens literally more often than I should admit on publicly. Yeah, that absolutely happens. Where do you feel the most inspiration when you're getting ready to draw one of your comics?
I have this massive like file that I've been keeping, like, I mean, before I even started doing the comic, my coping mechanism when they were younger was to just write everything down, like the sort of the good, the bad, the awful. And so I just got this huge sort of gold mine of ideas of like, you know, I write just very short notes. And so I have them right from the beginning. And it's lovely to look back, actually, and read them because it's sort of, you know, I did month by month kind of notes and just these sort of, you know, where I had a better month. And then it was like, you know, it's like, oh, things are going well. And then it'd be like, things are not going well. Sleep regression. I panic. Mostly.
SOS. SOS. That sums up parenting, though, just in general, right?
Yeah.
Just when you think that everything's going well, then there's a new phase or a new regression or something.
It's an arms race of sneakiness.
It absolutely is. What do you think makes parenting so weird? You know, the title of your book, obviously, is Parenting is Weird. So what makes it so weird?
I mean, it's sort of weird right from the get-go, isn't it? We grow a person, an actual person in our tummies. That's some next level sci-fi weird.
That's true. That's where it begins.
Yeah, I thought it would get better the second time around, but then it's not because there's the first tummy person is talking to you about boogers or something, and then the other one's inside. You're just like, this is, you can't think about it too much because it just is too weird.
It is true. It is true. That's actually a really good point. What do you think was the hardest stage Well, obviously you said with your first one, it was the newborn
stage.
Was that also the case with the second one?
No, he was one of the unicorn babies I'd only read about before. So that was pleasant. I think most people do it where they have the unicorn baby first and they got the, you know, they think they're really great parents and then they have the difficult one and they're kind of humbled. But we at least had it the other way around where we kind of got thrown in at the deep end and it was awful. But then we had the second one. I don't know what possessed us to roll the dice again, but we did. And we had the second one and he was actually very easy. So I was like, oh, we're not awful at this. This is okay.
You're like, you know what? We are good parents.
Yeah.
And then you had so much to write about ever since then.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're both so funny in such different ways. Like they are little cartoon characters. So I'm very lucky that I just live in a family of cartoon characters. So I just say, oh, I'll just draw that. I'll just draw that. Yeah. Easy.
Would you consider your family like artistic? And I mean, obviously you are, you're super artistic, but like, what about Jay and like the boys? Like, is art something that you prioritize as a family together?
Yeah, definitely. Jay's an artist too. He has a comic as well called Greetings from Grizzly. You can find him Grizzly Comic everywhere.
Yay! Way to plug Jay.
Yeah.
Yes.
He'll be pleased. Yes. Get some chocolate later.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, whenever the boys draw, I'm just always like, yeah, this is amazing. Come on. I want to, like, they're both very different drawers. The older one is quite sort of technical drawing, just very precise and lots of detail. And the younger one is more sort of flowing shapes. So I'm just so excited to see where they both go with it. And yeah, I can't wait to watch it grow.
I love that because you had studied art in school.
Yeah, I did a year of animation at university, but then I dropped out. Well, I met Jay and we kind of got distracted. I dropped out. So, sorry, parents.
It happens.
But yeah, I think animation is, I like the idea of animation, but I guess I'm a lazy animator. I just sort of thought, you know, you got to do all those frames and it's just hard.
It is hard. And you know, the technology has changed so much in the past, you know, 15, 20 years from where it had been. I actually used to work at Nickelodeon.
Oh, cool.
And we had our animation studio out in LA. I guess it was in Santa Monica. No, Burbank. It was in Burbank. And so I never had the opportunity to visit the animation studio, but I know that things have changed a lot in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, I'm sort of a lazy animator that comics are just storyboards, really. Like it's all animated in my head. And so I just sort of try to just back engineer that to be a comic. I mean, the ultimate goal would be to get a TV show. That would be amazing. Like
that would be incredible. That's actually what I was going to ask you. I was like, okay, so like, what is the ultimate end goal for Litterbox Comics?
Yeah, no, I'd love to do a show. That would be incredible. It's just trying to find, you know, I don't know, the animation industry, as you said, right now is just struggling. I don't know, it seems like they're not, the animators and the creators aren't really getting a good deal right now. So it's just a case of trying to figure out a way to do it that doesn't maybe involve the bigger studios, trying to do something more sort of, I don't know, startup-y or something. But
Right.
Investigating thing as I've got my, I'm networking out, trying to figure that out.
That's great though. No, that's super exciting. I know that with my son, some of his favorite YouTubers are illustrators. Like I mentioned before, Odd Ones Out, and his name is James, and James has a friend named Jaden. I don't know what Jaden's YouTube handle is, but her name is Jaden and she's an artist. He often watches their stuff. So I think there's a lot to be said about YouTube and, you know, starting one's own channel and going from there. But I know how much work that would be. It's like an overwhelming amount of
That's
work.
The thing is, you know, I have such a high standard in what I want for the animation that I'd need something quite big behind me to do it. So
yes,
I don't want to just do one of those kind of like, you know, cut out things with it. Like,
yes. No, that totally makes sense. That totally
properly
makes sense.
Animated. So that's the goal.
That's the end goal. No, it makes sense. And even James, I know I keep talking about this one guy, but we watch his videos all the time.
That's right.
odd ones out, is that he actually just got a Netflix show.
My kids have watched that.
Yeah. I think it's called Oddballs. I want to say it's Oddballs on Netflix. And it's beautiful to watch where someone has started to then where they ultimately go. You know, is like he started on YouTube and he's been doing that for a very, very long time, got picked up with Netflix and now has that show. I think they just had a season two, which is really, really awesome. And I think he also just wrote a book too. So yeah. So shout out to all the illustrators out there. It's good stuff. So tell me, where can we find this book? Where can we learn more about you and about all of these beautiful kitties? And they're not just kitties in the book. They're dogs too. They're and bears and all kinds of people. They're not people. They're animals, all kinds of animals. Where can we learn more about them?
Well, I'm Litterbox Comics everywhere. So if you just remember Cat Toilet, you'll remember me.
You know, it's funny that you say that, going back to, you know, how I was saying about, like, at home now, we're trying to do this fun dad thing with my husband. We also call him Poop Dad because he's the one that cleans the litter boxes for our three cats. So he's Poop Dad. So when you said that, it just instantly made me think about that too.
Unfortunate nickname.
It is. It was a nickname he gave himself. So, I mean, because he was trying to take the power back from having to clean all of that poop in the litter boxes. I love it. Cheska, thank you so much for being here today.
No, it's been great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Modern Mom Probs. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive in today's problem with me, your host, Tara Clark. Join me next time when I'll be interviewing another great guest and tackling another modern mom problem. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating. As always, you could head over to Modern Mom Probs on Instagram and give me a follow, or check out my book, Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers, available online wherever books are sold. Well, that's it for today. See you next time, folks.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.